You're listening to the best of the New Day. Feel the power on Spotify.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Live from a Zoom call emanating from Lando Lakes, Florida, some hotel room, and Austin, Texas. God. It's the New Day. Feel the power. Take it away, guys.
My man. Hey, that's Dan the Man right there. Like I always said, Dan the Man.
He did it.
Wow.
He did it.
He finally did it. He finally did it.
Did you pay him?
No, I didn't pay him. I ain't coming out the pocket for Dan.
Oh, big money Kofi ain't coming out the pocket?
Big money Kofi Kingston don't come out the pocket. You know what I'm saying? You come in the pocket. You know.
I, ladies and gentlemen, am Xavier Woods, a.k.a. Austin Creed.
And I am Kofi Kingston.
My name is Big E. You know, I've been doing this rambling, reclaiming my last name bit for quite some time. And I will say this is the first time in, about a month that we recorded from home. So it's probably time to turn over a new leaf. It's time to bury that bit, to move on to a new bit, probably, until I don't really have anything else to replace it with. But, you know, much like my body, when my spirit leaves it, just toss the bit into the nearest ditch or just out of the way somewhere. I'm more intrigued. We talked about the composting. If that's a thing, I would offer you first dibs, Kofi, on my body to compost. Wow. If you don't use it in a timely fashion, I will then offer it to our good man Woods to do whatever he wants with my body. That's up to your discretion.
How much time?
What is it? Yeah, with the timely fashion.
Yeah, how much time?
48 hours. 48 hours after I croak.
Can we do 36?
36 hours it is.
36? Wow, 36 you gave him 12.
You gotta act quick.
But what if you're like, do you have to be like fully decomposed or do I just got to get you in there within 36 hours?
As soon as they call it, as soon as they look on the watch and call the time of death, your clock is running.
I'm counting down with my surgical gloves, my equipment. I'm gonna get those organs to cook up and pick them up.
If that's what you want, man, it's your body. It's your body.
If I sell your organs on the black market and then we put all the money to whatever charity you would have wanted to put it towards. I feel like that's a...
Okay.
Okay.
That's not as chaotic as I was hoping, but that's responsible of you.
Yeah. You made you feel pretty good about it, didn't it?
Okay. That's a good cause.
I'll give you his organs. You can auction those off.
And you take the rest?
I'll take the rest and just put it in the compost. There's no need to fight about it. We can come up with a good negotiation here. Do you know a lot of people sent us like articles on, did you guys get those on Twitter about like the legitimacy of using bodies as compost and like, I don't know if it was like laws and, you know, like regulations, like it's a thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
What better way to use granny, you know, after she passes than to have her? No, because she's giving back. You ain't doing nothing with your body. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Buying this expensive coffin, spending thousands of dollars for these ceremonies. I'm not into that for me personally.
Yeah.
But you could take granny and put her to use. And that's what I want. I want to be useful in this life and useful after I depart.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
I also, you know, I kind of want some shenanigans as well. You know, something akin to Weekend at Bernie's appeals to me. Mm-hmm. Have you also seen, did you see the one dude? I think he might have already been embalmed. But they had him like in his, he had a fit on. I think he had a cap. He was up, they had a party for him and they just set him up in the corner. I'm kind of into that as well.
Oh, wait, like, for real?
give me a little bit of time. That's let your boy, and I want people to come by and dab me up too. Bro. And I want them to be like a puppeteer. I want somebody to like, if my favorite song comes on, I want somebody to have me dancing. Oh. You know?
It's the Flatbush Zombies. Get him up. That's my layer. Get him back up. Get him back up. Now, hold on.
That's Thug Waffle. Thug Waffle. That's on. That's his, you know, that's his song.
God. Oh my God. But the thing is, you know, once you start dancing, everybody has to be like,
getting it.
I'm just thinking of like the puppeteer being in the bathroom and then hearing the DJ and hearing your song come on and the urgency of wanting to get out there and get. So you can just, you know, right. Not miss the song.
I wonder if you might need a team for that, you know, because a body is that's fairly heavy. So maybe it's a puppeteer team. People who work together, like, hey, Bob, you got the arm, the right arm. Hey, Jerry, you got the left arm. Little Timmy, take the leg. And little Bobby, you know what I mean? Maybe you
get the head.
Yeah. Right. Maybe you have to. It's a team. I think a team. That's what I'd like. Yeah. So I still want my body like to be useful.
Voltron, a dead body, real life dead body Voltron type situation.
Is that like exactly?
Is that what Voltron like, is? Is that what they? Is it not a robot? Version? Is it a dead body?
Oh my God! But
is it not a robot? Race
that we don't understand.
Whoa!
Wow! So I can do that. Let's do some more research. Wow. But yeah, that's what I'd like. I'd like one more time just to pop the boys, you know, really. Just to party with all the boys and the girls too. You know, the people that we love and who are near to us. And that's what I want, just to pop. But don't let people know beforehand. Just say, oh, you know, we're going to do this party. but I just want like the sudden surprise and not like, oh, that's scary. But like, you know, the, oh, snap, look who's in the building.
Yeah. the DJ, everybody. Everybody check it out one time. You know, he's not supposed to be here right now. He ain't even supposed to be here, but we got Big E in the building.
It'd be just us popping. Everybody else, what?
Your arm trying to get you to do the wave.
And I want to do all the dances that I couldn't do in real life. I want to be able to do then. Like, have me hitting the Quan, the Dougie, you know, the butt, that song. I want to do all those songs that I couldn't do in life. I want to do then. So that's your mission. That's your mission now is, of course, still use my body for good, composting, all that jazz. But I want to make it to one weekend. One weekend, a blowout weekend, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just Hennessy all around. Incredible Hulk, like we're in college again, you know, bring back everything that was hot. And like, I feel like my peak was like 2004 to 2008. So I want to be in a tall tee down to my shins. I want a fitted cap with the brim super stiff. I want the NBA jacket, the NBA logo jacket. Just all the teams on the jacket. That's how I want to go out.
That's a hell of a send off.
We would do that. And we would go out and we'd have a blast. And then at the end of it, somebody would say, not yet. And then we go the second one and we go like on a cruise.
We just can't let go.
Now we got you in the pool, like backstroking.
Who's to stop this from happening? Is this illegal, by the way? I need to look into this.
For us to make this movie or us to do this in real life?
In real life, because I'm serious. Like, I want you to know that this is me giving my blessing. This is me giving my blessing for people to know.
If you put in your will, then it's fair game.
That's true, too. But, you know, I'm lazy.
Somebody gets in trouble.
Man.
Wow.
We got to. Wow.
I'm into the idea. All of us just are thinking, what are we going to now put in?
The funny thing is, I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, I can't wait. That shouldn't be the thought going into my head. Like, this is going to be lit. Bro. Oh, this is going to be dope. No. Bro,
this party we're going to have, he just got to go. But I mean, it's going to be okay because the party afterwards.
Yeah.
The
party. And think about the after party too. You think about like a popping club is real deep. There's a line, like 200 people in line. But who is going to say, hey, you got to wait in line. You got a dead body. You know what I mean? That gets you to the front of any line.
Damn.
To the front of any line. Excuse me, dead body here. We just trying to pay respect. Excuse me. And everyone out of respect was like, oh, you're right. Let him go. He's dead. He passed. He don't have a spirit right now. Let him go. You're right.
They're going to salute. Yeah, they go salute. Step Ben to the Kervit, side and salute.
Kervit, gone Kervit. You know who it is. You know who it is. Right, right, right.
I couldn't get in life, but I can get in death. You know what I mean? So respect. I'll take him. It's him. Memorial service.
I hope it is. I hope it is. And I hope we're sitting. I hope we're sitting in the front row. God. Just looking at us. Just laughing.
Oh my
and
God.
And nobody else is laughing. Nobody else is laughing. But we're crying. And we're laughing so hard.
Oh no. Oh God.
I want you to know, I'm serious too. These aren't jokes. This counts. This podcast counts as my, it's a verbal will, I think. I looked it up. It's legal. So you all have my consent, my full consent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what's messed up? I just got so happy and so sad at the same time. Because again, to Kofi's point, I'm thinking, man, I can't wait. That it's gonna be so funny, but then I'm gonna be sitting there for real, like, oh my God, it's so sad. And we're so old.
We're so old.
This is what Look how want. Old we are. We're so old. I bet you got knee replacements. You're old ass Austin. Get on your private jet and get out of here because you were really successful. Really good businessman.
Oh man. Wow.
That's what I want out of my life. I was going to say my life, but I guess my death. That's what I want out of my death. Yeah.
The generosity.
Also, is it so weird that you've pushed it on us enough that you're going to die before us?
I know.
So we didn't even question it. You know,
at this point, you correct us so much that we're just right. Going to pass this
Well, I think too, you know, there are people who, unfortunately, you know, older couples who are like married for a very long time and the wife passes, and you hear stories of like the husband passes hours later or days later. Like, you guys will have your spouses and your beautiful families just to keep you going, just to give you that extra life to keep going. You know what I mean? And me, I don't really have that, but I'm not here for a long time. I'm here for a good time. So that's the point. We all got to go, you know, but if I go out in a good fashion, you know, I'm more than okay with that. You know, my time here has, you know, it's been a time. It's been a time. I wonder, do you ever, I try to, again, you know, meditation, all that jazz. I try to stay present, so I don't think too much about it. But do you ever think about like what you'll be like or what you'll look like 30 years from now, 40
constantly,
years from now?
Constantly.
Really?
Yes. That's why I'm trying to have as much fun with my hair as humanly possible now, because I feel like I'm going to lose the top part and I'm going to have the stink meter. But I'm stubborn and I'm not going to cut it.
Hey.
I'm going to try to just style it and keep it looking moisturized and gray. So I'm just trying to have fun with it before I get there.
It's true. It's true. That's my main thing with hair. You know, we talked about it early in the podcast, but it's going. It's just a matter of time. You know, I find myself sometimes like taking a mirror and just seeing, because, you know, my hair is long. So I feel like I won't be able to tell when it's like thinning. So I just want to like see if like that bald spot is coming, you know, and I'm trying to like just see. And then I look for like gray hairs too, because, you know, knock on wood, I don't have any gray hairs. But, you know, so I dye my hair blonde, and sometimes like the little pieces of blonde will get into like the scalp, you know, and I'm like, oh, is that it? No, that's just a piece of blonde. So like every day I'm like legit just checking. And it's not the end of the world if you go gray, like it's fine. But, you know, like you said, you only have, you got one set of, one head of hair. And when it's gone, that's it. Sayonara, you know?
Best case scenario, if I can keep all the hair that I have and it just all slowly turns like salt and pepper, then like I'm into that.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like can't wait to look like that. Because I feel like that then people like respect you when they talk to you rather than just like talking down at you all the time. You know?
So, I like the gray. Gray, I'm cool with. It's the balding that's a little concerning. Yeah. But the gray I think is dope. I don't know if you saw Ron Isley recently. The Isley brothers were on Versus. But he's got this cool old man look because he's grayed out. He got a sweet beard. Like, I just want to be a cool looking old man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to. Yeah, I'm afraid I'll look like a dweeb when I'm an old man.
You know, doing like Minority Report. Let's get the dweeb old man across the street.
Look at that dweeb just throwing stuff at your house. You old dweeb.
I want to be the OG. I want to say, I want people to say, what's up, OG? And I want to call people young blood too. I want to have that kind of respect where I can say, what up, young blood? Maybe have like 3 or 4 rings on each hand, just, you know, ringed out. That's what I want. I just want to be a cool old man. That would be nice.
It's not too much to ask.
Yeah.
You got you see the that app? I think it's like going back around where it like shows. Actually, someone did it with like all the WWE, like, you know, men and women just aging. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of them. And it's just like this age app, you know, I'm on there. Sasha's on there. I think she actually sent it to me. But everybody. And then it shows Truth. And Truth looks the exact same. They took a picture from like now. As he should. As he has looked for the past 150 years, as we all know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we look like, man. I don't know.
Very curious. That weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man.
What we should also make that a movie now.
Legit.
And then make people watch it at the service.
Yeah. And then we do it again. And then do it for real.
Yeah.
Is this part of the movie?
Yeah.
Wait, is this a work?
Maybe at the end of the third movie ends at the service. So that way when it happens, we go right into it.
Damn.
So wow. I gotta play dead the whole time? This movie?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But you gotta help us though.
Yeah, like, you gotta, you know.
I know, I'm gonna sandbag you, right? It gotta be true.
Well, then I'm gonna need to get paid a lot more then.
Fair. I feel like, hasn't the premise already been exhausted for the movie? You know, I feel like we've already seen it. I feel like we're done with it. It exists. Nah.
No.
Yeah.
You think there's room for more?
Oh my God. Oh, yeah. Yes. Everything you literally just said, hitting the dance floor and everybody popping for you.
Yeah.
But it's just the three of us doing some sort of dance. That's hilarious.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's one scene. What about the rest of the movie?
Well, I didn't write the whole thing yet. Step one, E.
How many weeks? They made multiple. There's at least two Weekend at Bernie's, right?
At least.
I think there's like three, isn't there?
And it's remake season. And that was season. I mean, just now they just remake everything.
Right.
Remaking Weekend at Bernie's with us. Not like it's that's funny. That's funny. Especially so if someone's paying us to make this movie, now we have resources.
Oh,
now we can go places and do things.
Have you at a signing?
Everybody coming through and saluting just like
saluting. Can I do you mind if I come behind the table? yeah, come on, kid. You mind if I put my arm around you? Yeah, you got it. Go ahead, right?
We're gonna have to figure out how to have a match. For one scene. That'd be the good part.
Oh, yeah.
We get people more creative than us to figure out how to make that funny. And then we film it. And then people laugh. Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Or we laugh, at least.
I'm like, oh, you worried about people laughing. I thought we were just trying to pop ourselves. I'm already popped.
I thought
we were trying to pop ourselves. Okay. You about the crowd, the actual audience. Oh, okay. Maybe we need to put some more thought if that's the case.
It's just slightly more, just a little bit more.
Make a full motion picture just for us.
Oh, man. How do you guys want to go out? With dignity, I guess? I mean, that's what you want.
I just want people around me to be happy. That's it. It's like...
Yeah.
I don't know, as far as what we can do in this like the short amount of time that we have on the planet, as we get older and stuff, like when we've talked about this a million different times, like we start to realize like what our like friendships and relationships like really mean to us and all that type of stuff. So I think if we can be in a situation where like you feel fulfilled and you've done everything to help the people around you feel as fulfilled as they can feel, I don't know, if I could feel that sensation and then go in my sleep, then I think that that's best case scenario. Just going, going happy. I want to go like with a smile on my face.
I think to me, so it's funny. I don't know if we talked about this on this podcast or if I mentioned it in an interview. But you know, people will ask you like, "Whoa, well, how do you want to be remembered?" And to me, I don't give a damn if you remember me or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, my whole thing is like, while we're here on this earth, like I want to do everything I can to make everybody else feel like some sense of, you know, like achieving your dream or some sense of happiness. You know what I'm saying? So like, as long as I'm doing that, like whether you remember me or not is not, I don't want to say like it's selfish. You know what I'm saying? To be like, oh, well, don't forget that I'm the one who made you feel that way. For it doesn't matter to me, like if you think highly of me or not, but if I've had like some small impact on your life, you know, I've been very blessed to have lived out my childhood dream. You know what I'm saying? And to the fullest, you know what I'm saying? Like winning the championship at WrestleMania, doing, you know, being great friends with you, making like brothers, making brothers with you, we made brothers. Just having a bond that's so tight that we feel like brothers, that I've found this level of elation that I feel like even coming on this podcast and like looking at your faces just makes me smile, you know? So I want to be able to transfer like that feeling to somebody else. And if they can feel like 1/10 of that, having an amazing family, having amazing kids, having an amazing wife, you know, if I can make you feel or even push you towards feeling that way or achieving that dream, then that's all that I really care about. Like, I'm not looking for like the, I guess like the credit, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't know. It's a very strange answer, but I came to that realization. Like, I could give a damn whether you remembered me or not. You know, I really don't care at all. So yeah, that's my goal on earth.
Respect that. I respect it a lot. That's great. It's very positive. It's very, very beautiful.
It's got intense.
Yeah. I know. What happened?
I don't know. We're just talking about dying.
We just went.
I think too, for me, as I get older, I think, I don't know if this is true for most of us, but I think when you get into wrestling or you just, it's a function of being in your youth, in your early 20s, for me, a lot of this feeling of making it was like this feeling of angst, this feeling that I need to prove something to people. I'll show you that I'm going to be someone or that I'm going to be worth it. But I feel as I get older and I become more at peace with myself and I let a lot of that go, I feel like I felt fairly recently, over the last few years, that switch kind of turn where I get more fulfillment out of, like you said, out of assisting others and less about just doing stuff for myself, because we're blessed enough where honestly, if things all fell apart, we would be okay if we were jobless today. You know, we've been blessed. And I don't think, as much as I want to achieve other things in my career, I can look back and be proud of what we did. And yeah, just for me, I realized, hey, I'm 35 and in wrestling, like, and it's funny because I'll talk to my friends who are like athletes or Mike Daniels, and 35 in the NFL, you're an old man, you're ancient. Yeah. And wrestling, bro, it's time to get a push now. Yeah.
You're just about to hit your stride. Right,
you know. Oh, you're almost 40? Oh, you now we're going to do something with you. Yeah.
You might have something, kid.
We'll your mic.
Right. But that's how it works, man. Especially when you're like, I don't know if we talked about this in the pod, but some of the stats, like I think two of the men in the Rumble were in their 20s. And everyone else was in their 30s or 40s, maybe even in their 50s.
Yeah.
Wrestling it's strange in that regard, in that, you know, you like 35, you're still in the middle of your career if you want to be. But I think for me, there definitely is, there's added fulfillment in seeing others progress. Like you said, being in a program with someone, and when you realize that you can lift them up with the way that you work or sell or, you know, your contributions to the program, like that's exciting. And, you know, 5-6 years ago, it was all about getting us off the ground and getting us going. And that's still important too. But I find the giving back part or being able to help others, the part that makes you feel all warm and
sad. Yeah. It's far more fulfilling. And we talked about it too, like, you know, being bad guy, New Day, being able to go out and make people, you know, like make people cheer for the people who we go up against. You know, for example, WrestleMania this year for me and Woods, going up against AJ and Omos, the Giant. I felt really, really good about being able to go out and, you know, we've had WrestleMania moments, but for his first moment to be at WrestleMania and to have a dominant performance and look like the Giant that he is, you know, I couldn't wait to go out there and do that, you know, and just like watching him after, you know, and like you see this like big, huge Giant, but then like seeing him smile because you know that like he's getting that feeling of achieving, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know, just to be able to give him or participate in the elation that he feels as a WWE superstar, as a person, as somebody who has, you know, gotten to this point in life. And now your very first match is at WrestleMania and you're the man, You know what I'm saying? And now we had something to do with that, you know? And now I'm seeing you smile and like you're starting to feel like what we have felt over the years. And that's what I want. That's what I want. I want for everybody in the business who has ever set foot in the business to feel at least like 1/10 of the success, the joy that we have felt together, you know, in this industry. We've been lucky to, because there's so many people who have not been afforded that opportunity for whatever reason. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. You know, it's supposed to be the best job in the world. And everyone should taste what it's like to contribute and to put effort in and have that effort pay off in the highest form. So, yeah, man, I was probably one of my favorite matches, to be honest. And even like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like talking about it beforehand and, just from top to bottom, everyone's on the same page, you know, everyone's on the same page. And going from that role of, I mean, it's been over time, but like student to kind of like teacher, you know, and Woods, you're really good about this too, about like the real, like the nuances about how important facials are and expressing that to someone who might not, you know what I mean? Like who might not know that. And this is all stuff that we have learned, you know, through what we've been told, but mostly through what we've experienced. So to be able to pass on that knowledge and see somebody take that knowledge and then see it work. And then see everybody in the crowd like enjoying. It's like, man, like we did that. We gave that to somebody. We gave that feeling to somebody. So, it is. I think it's probably one of the best parts of the business is being able to give to somebody, give to your, you know, your fellow coworker or brother out there, just a sense of jubilation, you know, because that's what this is supposed to be.
100% echo everything that you said, and I think. And not to get like deep into like wrestling stuff. It's so weird to me because the way that we learned all of those things is by, you know, obviously working with guys who are elders and they've been able to teach us, but we got to learn on like live events or house shows. And so that was like 3 extra times a week to get those lessons and to figure things out. And so like this generation of people who might be coming up, like they don't have that experience. So like if we wrestled 4 times a week, and they're wrestling 1, it's like, wow. Okay, so they have 25% essentially like of the time that we had to learn this craft. Like the catch up that they have to play like is incredible to me, that people are able to catch on when they do so quickly. It's wild.
Yeah. That's a very beautiful sentiments expressed by both of you. But I'd also be remiss if I didn't mention that I would like you all to Buffalo Bill me as well. So if you could wear, when I pass, I want to make that addendum to my original note. I'll make sure to lotion up real nice as I feel, the spirit start to leave me if I think the time is close, but I think a skin suit would be in order and I think it would pop people, you know?
Okay. I was going to ask you to explain what the Buffalo Bill was to people who might not know, but you want the skin suit.
Yes. Right. Yes. I want to be worn by you all. Okay. Once I've given up the ghost, I'd like one of you to do that. Or maybe your sons, you know, if you're uncomfortable with it, maybe one of your sons.
make your kids do it.
If we're uncomfortable with it, we would then have our children do it because,
you know, they'll be younger. They'll be, you know, more bold. Yeah,
I'm curious about the logistics. Who's skinning you?
I mean, you can hire someone if you like. You can do
Steve
it yourself.
Kern, Skinner.
Are we wearing your skin as if we are you? Are we both in this skin suit at the same time? What are you looking for?
That's your choice.
Is it tribute gear? Do we make it into pants? Do we make it into a jacket?
I'll do that.
You guys have creative freedom here.
Oh, wow. We do?
Yeah, you have creative freedom. It's maybe up to you.
maybe this is when we do the flesh tone gear and the parts that cover flesh.
Okay, so you're either, assuming I'm going to die real soon because you're still wrestling, or your old asses are going to trot yourselves out there in your 70s or 80s and wrestle in a skin suit.
Well, that's not, that's the beauty of the
party. Why would we not have a match wearing your flesh? Bro,
we got to have a match. If you know, set up a little ring, little makeshift ring in the mess hall wherever the party is. The reception.
Tag them, little unicorn stampede. I'll
tag play them, little stampede. Little, yeah,
around a little bit.
We'll come out of retirement for you. Yeah. This is a big deal, you know. We've structured the gimmick specifically so that we can like just shake our hips and twerk while we're old.
Oh, you know? You know what we can do? You know what we can do? So check this out. So it's we wrestle against our kids.
Wow.
And then the way that they beat us is their Big E shows up and that's how he debuts.
Damn.
As a friend.
Do you think they'll want to wrestle?
My kid right now, I think that they do. I think my kids do. Well, I know Orion does, and it's crazy. Like their birthdays are coming. Well, Kai just turned 8 and Orion is turning 5 tomorrow. This is
unsettling.
Beautifully disgusting. it's so bizarre. But anyway, yeah, Orion.
Like when you, just to ask if anybody else saw this, Coke, when you put your arm out, he picked up his water bottle and it looked like your arm went through the screen. And maybe I'm just freaking out, but it looks, when you guys run this back, please tell me if that's what I saw.
Yeah. I think Orion definitely, he talks about, they talk about like their entrance music and I can see them like fantasizing, as youth, as I did. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of kids who obviously want to be wrestlers. Even at WrestleMania, they were there. They keep talking about the Shane McMahon and Braun Strowman cage match. They'd never seen a cage match. So that was the first time they saw it. And he's like, yeah, and Braun Strowman was up there. And Shane McMahon, he's small. I said, well, I mean, next to Braun, yes, he's small, but he's probably bigger than me. He's like, but you're taller than him, right? I was like, yeah. But yeah, I think they right now are at the age where you get that bug. So, but then, they're playing sports and stuff too. So, I think the goal for me anyway, is just to kind of provide them with a lot of opportunities, like do everything. And that way, what you want to lean towards, So, I don't know. I'm real curious to see which way they go, especially because they're so different too. They're so like wildly different in their demeanors and just presences and all that. So,
I mean, they're 3-1. So,
yeah.
They don't know by now.
What's taking so long?
Well, I mean, once they're 5, they're going to go on the map.
Ooh, I like that.
So, I'm of the same school of thought as Kofi is, try whatever you want. But I'm not going to like shove towards, but I'm going to nudge towards certain things. I'm going to nudge towards wrestling because if it is something that he'll like stick with, then maybe when he's older, if he continues, now he's got this entire back catalog of ways to move and all that stuff. And I remember wrestling against guys who had been wrestling since they were 5, and they're not the same. They're not the same as you and I. They have a different kind of body control. But I do. I say that because wrestling taught me so many lessons that I wish I would have learned earlier in life, and just gave me a crazy level of self-confidence. Because, being a kid who just like, I just want to play video games and kind of go to school or whatever. It wasn't like the coolest thing. So I never felt confident enough to go and like make friends and do all that stuff. So once I got into wrestling and it was like, oh, well, I'm doing it because I wanted to be a pro wrestler anyway. But where's the top rope type of situation when we walk in? But realizing like, well, I got to be able to be physical. And so that idea of like one-on-one combat in like a safe enough space, but to just like really test yourself and the end result being either you worked hard enough to earn success or you did not work hard enough to earn success. And that's the only outcomes you can have. It's not like if you're on a football team, like there's a bunch of other people who, if they don't fulfill their role, you still won't win the game, but you don't have anybody to blame in wrestling. And so that it really helped me change my perspective and like gain a lot of self-confidence in that. So I'm going to nudge a little bit that way because I have such like a deep-seated love for what it gave to me.
I will tell anyone, I think amateur wrestling is one of the best things I've ever done because I think like for a kid who grew up in the suburbs, like it toughened me up and it taught me discipline when I'd go to like a rigorous prep school. But when you had to run on the weekends, because it's not like there's a lot of sports where like with football, I'm not going to say it doesn't take hard work, but you could probably get away with just lifting during the hours you're supposed to and your practices, and you can go home and live however you want to live. But if you're not controlling your diet, if you're not eating clean, if you're not running on your off time, it all shows up. So the amount of discipline, the amount of work I had to regularly put in, and not just in season, but out of season 2, doing tournaments, just rolling around, like amateur wrestling was one of the best decisions I ever made. And the only reason I did it, I knew nothing about wrestling. It was just, I went to a prep school that didn't offer football. And so it was the, you know, I was a kid with some pent up angst. It was the next most physical thing I could do. So yeah, it's just incredible the lessons it taught me. And like you said, there's so much that I think anyone who has a good amateur wrestling base, it makes it a lot easier to start pro wrestling because you understand grappling, even though it is different, you understand that. And so many of the very elite amateur wrestlers like Kurt Angle, like Chad Gable, so many of them, even like Ronda with judo, a little bit different, but still, it's just easier to pick up when you're elite at that level. It's easier to pick up what we do. But yeah, just an incredible sport that I would suggest for anyone, men or women as well.
It's a windy road we got today.
It is a windy road. We talked about death, what we're going to do to my body, and I'm not done with that either. I'm wondering, is there, you know, the whole like head in a jar option?
Like I wonder.
Yeah. And another, like, you know, by the time we're starting to get decrepit, is that going to be an option, you know, to just, and would you want to live that way? But I mean, just being a head in a jar isn't great. But if you could connect to like a robot body or sweet cyborg body and do a bunch of things.
Oh, yes.
But do you want to live like 200 years? That's a long time.
I don't know. So
it's a long time.
I never really, you know, from, how do I say this? I guess the first time I realized how like the negative side of immortality was watching Highlander. Cause you never think about it as a kid at that age. And then when he was like, yeah, I've seen everyone that I've ever loved die. And it's like, oh, you got to do that a lot if you're immortal. Mm-hmm. That sucks. And that's why immortal people are so just like blah all the time. So I don't know, maybe I might want to get like another like 15 years if there's like, if like something's like popping off that I want to be around for. But mm-hmm. I mean, for the most part, we should be good, like around when it's time to go, it's kind of time to go.
I respect that. And I think too, a lot of the beauty of life is its immediacy. If you know you have 300, 400 years and you have all the time in the world, you're not as grateful probably for the beautiful days. Right. But it's just knowing that it's finite. And that any moment, you know, I live in a subdivision where we got alligators. Imagine, you know, I'm just going on one of my strolls at any moment. A gator could come through, take my leg, you know? What a way to go. What a great story, you know? Man played football, did some pro wrestling, did some dangerous, you know. But he used to drive 300 miles a night. A bunch of other ways you could think this man could go. But nah, gator got him.
Gator hit him with a single leg.
If you got eaten by an alligator, we would have to do the weekend at Bernie's with a cardboard cutout.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have your body.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't walk by that. Yeah. Don't walk by that pond.
Okay. Snake bite then? So my body's intact?
I mean, yeah, yes. But if that happens, like, do we get a lookalike?
A lookalike?
Someone who looks like you have him
get away. Yeah, like a stand in.
No. It's got to be authentic.
It's got to be authentic.
You've been eaten.
Okay, but that's...
Surely the gator can't eat... He can't eat the whole meal.
Right.
But if he gets he takes a leg.
Do they only roll alone?
Oh, okay.
You think might a pack of gators will get me?
Yeah. Oh, God, I guess that's the only way. Because a regular gator, you'd fight that thing off.
I don't know. They got strong jaws.
Yeah, but you when you're incensed, you're strong when you're not, like, adrenaline up. But when you get adrenaline up, I think you could rip a gator's jaws apart.
A group of gators is not called a pack. It's called a congregation, actually, which is fitting. A
congregation.
No, you grew up in the church. You grew up in the church.
They've never heard you.
Congregation of gators.
This is a movie.
You know? They take a bite and be like, oh, is that you? My bad.
Hey, you know what? I remember I was there back in the day when you said that. You remember that?
And the stream.
Gators at the swamp.
And the podcast.
In Louisiana,
Oh, human. Oh, yeah, man, it was a great time. Were you okay? I know. It's a t-shirt, right? It was crazy. It was crazy.
Oh, and IV and everything.
You remember that, Johnny? You remember the whole thing? Man. Cool. Good time. Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Yeah.
You won't eat you.
First of all.
Carry on. Finish your walk. My bad, bro.
Y'all want to just die, huh? Y'all want to keep going with this, huh? Y'all think it's hilarious, huh?
That's the one thing. Even if you pass, that impersonation will not. That impersonation will live on.
You better bury it with me. No. When I go, it goes.
It will never die. I'm gonna make sure that I embed that in your legacy. I'm gonna have a choir of children do it. I'm gonna put a trap beat under it, and that's when you're gonna start dancing.
There's a choir of little kids.
Oh, God. Stop it.
All right, I'm kind of into this now. You turned me around on it.
Hey, there we go.
You know what I always found interesting? That every group of animals has its own name. Who decided that? That they should all have their own distinct names?
They call everything a pack, right?
Maybe the animals. I don't know.
So geese is gaggle, right?
Gaggle?
I think so.
Yep.
And then horses.
What about crows? A murder of crows.
A murder?
Yeah.
Wow, so different birds have different names. It's not just a flock.
Nope.
A flock of birds, but if it's specifically crows, it's a murder of crows.
Murder of crows.
My God. So, hold on. So a murder is a flock, but a flock is not a murder.
Yes.
Okay.
Is that true?
Well, a flock is birds in general, right? I'd imagine.
Okay, that's fair.
Just square rectangle thing. Okay, just checking.
Yeah.
Wow.
A murder.
Horses is something weird, isn't it?
I think it is. Let me look this up right now. A group of horses is a team, a harris, a rag. A group of colts is a rag.
A rag.
Yeah.
You got the short end of the stick on that one, huh?
Yeah.
A rag.
Who picked the words that make no sense? They're like, hey, this is already a word, but we'll also just use it for this random thing.
I don't know.
A group of turkeys is a rafter.
Oh, there is a quiver of cobras?
Quiver.
But then what if I'm talking bow and arrows and I want to shoot a bunch of cobras, I got to pull my arrows from my quiver to shoot the quiver?
That's right.
That is correct.
Oh, what a visual. Ooh, she's put a website in for more words.
Look it up real quick. I've always found this fascinating for some reason. I don't know why it's a thing.
Ooh, here we go.
Rattle some off.
An unkindness of ravens.
An unkindness.
Yes.
Really?
We have a crash of rhinoceroses.
Rhinoceri?
Not rhinoceri, yeah. I feel like
that. Rhinoceroni?
Flock of eagles. Most people likely use the general term flock for a group of eagles rather than the proper term is convocation. A convocation.
Convocation of eagles.
I'm into that.
Apes, a shrewdness.
Ooh.
A shrewdness. Wow. I don't know what that word is. Badgers, a seat. C-E-T-E?
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
Seat.
Ooh. A group of owls is called a parliament.
Oh, wow. I like that. That sounds official. That sounds official.
They got suit on. A group of crocodiles is a basque.
Basque.
A group of wildebeest is called a confusion.
I like that one. Oh, and I like this one. A group of ferrets is called a business. I remember there was something going around with ferrets in business suits. It's like a business business ran by a business of businesses.
I like that. A group of lemurs is called a conspiracy.
Oh,
I don't trust them.
It sounds like a joke. What do you call a group of lemurs? What? A conspiracy.
A group of zebras is called a dazzle.
I like that.
Ooh, a group of hippopotami are called a bloat.
Okay, that was the next one I had. A group of giraffes is called a tower.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Well, I like this one too. A group of jaguars is called a shadow. That sounds like a joke too.
What do you call a group of jaguars? A shadow.
It does sound like a joke. A group of wild cats is called a destruction.
Wow, yeah. So that's why truth is afraid.
Because he knows the destruction.
A destruction. It's a destruction. What?
That's what he's meant the whole time. let's see.
Destruction, dog.
Wow. A group of monkeys is called a barrel. were true.
Ew, so
a barrel of monkeys that game.
Okay, that's where it came from.
But it did that happen because of the game? Or was it a thing before the game?
It must have been a, well.
I would imagine it's been a thing before. I'm guessing.
That'd be interesting.
I'm sure we'll get a link here soon.
I'm sure very few people in our audience actually care, but I find like etymology and the origin of words very fascinating.
Random subject change. Do you know what I saw the other day? And maybe this is funny to me and nobody else, but I get off the rental train or whatever to get to the rental car, and somebody was using their cell phone like a boombox. You remember in like the 80s, they used to have the boombox on their shoulders and people be blasting it. This dude was blasting his cell phone and blasting his song. And I swear, holding it on his shoulder and everything like a boombox and just feeling himself. There's families around, there's cusses all in the words. And he's just feeling it like, it was just so funny to me, man. Because like, I mean, like you understand why you put a boombox on your shoulder. Like it's a heavy, big ass box. You know, right. You want to carry it, you want to move around, you're going to throw it on your shoulder. That's probably the easiest way to carry it. And this dude had a cell phone like a boombox in the middle of the rental car station, just feeling it too. Can nobody tell him nothing? I couldn't believe it. It was very comical to me.
It's always very strange to me when people like have music that with curse words and like there's clearly like families and children around and like it just doesn't faze them. I'm like, oh, it makes me feel like, remember how Kenan and Kel would make you feel when you knew something bad and awkward was going to happen?
Mm.
It makes me feel like that in my chest. I'm like, how do you not feel that right now? Do you look at your surroundings, dude? These are children.
You just don't care.
Even from the perspective of like, you know, maybe people don't want to hear this noise in the public. Like, and you know damn well you must have a pair of headphones somewhere. Like you just came off the rental car that you got a whole bag of luggage. You got to have a pair of headphones in there in your carry-on or something. You got to have one and you want to hold it like a boombox, like everybody wants to hear it. Just unfazed, you know, it's a level of ignorance that like, I mean, wow, just wow. Amazing.
Shall we get to our gas ups and gas downs?
Yeah. Gas them up. God. Gas them down.
Dan.
Hello.
Talk to us.
I'm here with some gas ups for you.
Thank you, Dan.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. First one coming in from Edwin says, hello. Both my kids, Javi and Gabrielle, are starting Little League this weekend. They are excited and nervous for the season. Could they get a gas up? I appreciate your consideration and time. Have an awesome day.
So he didn't say what kind of Little League?
No.
I mean, baseball, right? Is that?
I'm assuming.
We would call football Little League as well.
Oh, really?
Javi and Gabriel. It's your boys, the
New Day.
And we just want to give you a little gas up because we heard that y'all are about to start Little League. What a glorious time in your life. What a fantastic thing to be doing in your life. You're about to really engage in some struggles that you're going to fight your way through and you're going to be better for it on the other side. Life is about to try you and you're about to look it in the eye and stand up and say, I am prepared for you. I am prepared to succeed. No matter what the obstacle that stands in your way, you will get through this. You will enjoy your time in Little League. You will succeed.
Gabi, Javi, y'all about to engage in Little League. And I'm going to go ahead and assume that it's baseball. He told me that sometimes they call Little League football, but I'm going to assume it's baseball. I'm going to tell you what I tell my kids, because my kids have enjoyed their first run. They're in their second season now in Little League and having the greatest time. You're going to meet some great teammates. Y'all are going to come together as a team and win games. Y'all going to win games because what you're going to do, you're going to hit some home runs. You're going to hit some dingers. Yes, sir. You're going to run the bases, score, slide. You're going to catch some fly balls, pop flies, catch them out, double plays, triple plays. Strike three, you're out. Get them out. Pitch the ball. You know what I'm saying? Y'all are in for such a good time, and I'm so, so excited for all of you to go out there and win some games. Because what's your daddy's name? Ed Win. Yes, sir. You got winning in your family. It's in your nature. It's in your blood. So go out there and do what you were destined to do. Have fun now. Have fun and win some games.
That was beautiful. I love the wordplay that you did to win and win. That's very beautiful. Edwin. I would say children, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about, nothing to be afraid of, because this is a glorious time. Do you know what I did with my time in Little League? Granted, this was football, but this is a time where you are permitted to humiliate these little kids. This is a time where you can run them over. If, I don't know, in baseball, you know, if a catcher stands in your way or something, you can run him over. But I love my time in Little League because it's the one time they couldn't argue. They couldn't yell at me for fighting or for embarrassing kids. But you get to run them over. You get to shame them. You get to make them look like fools. You get to run by them. Take this time and enjoy. Enjoy this time, this moment where you can humiliate. You can embarrass these kids. You can stunt on them. You can high step. Work on your high step. Don't spend a lot of time. Your coach might have you out there working on your fielding and all that. And that's all great. But work on your showmanship. Work on your showboating. Work on your high step. I want you to look at film of Deion Sanders. Prime time. They call him Prime Time. So make sure you got a good nickname. Prime Time's a good one. But make sure you find a good nickname. And stunt on these kids. Stunt on all of them. You know what I'm saying? Work on all your taunts. Work on your dances. Work on just any moment where you can just embarrass another child, where you can just make them feel low because there's nothing that anyone can do because you did it within the rules. You're just playing the game, but you dominate. It's fun to dominate people. I love it. I used to love being able to manhandle kids. When I played youth football, I would truck kids. I would truck these little boys out here, and I would put my cleats in their chest. And no one could yell at me. No one could yell at me. I could hit them as hard as I could lower my shoulder and run through them because I am superior on this field. And I want you to have that same mindset. You are there to crush, to destroy, to send tears down their eyes. You are here to dominate. Do you know how good it feels to dominate another child? It's an incredible feeling when you're a child, not as a man and a child, don't make it weird, but when you are a child and you have a fellow child and you can dominate them, it feels very, very good. So I'm excited about the opportunity that you get, because right now, if you were to push a kid in school, they would say, no, don't do that. And they would be right to say that. But on the field, on that field of play, if there's grass and a ball, you got to stunt. You got to dominate. You got a high step. You got a moonwalk. So work on your stunts. Work on your celebrations, because you're gonna do a lot of things worth celebrating. And that's what's really important in life, is your celebration and your swagger. Y'all gonna have hella swagger. So listen to me and work on that swagger. Get your swagger up and get your high stepping on and embarrass these fools out here. And I'll be rooting for you. And hopefully you'll be on SportsCenter real soon because of your showboating. So there's that.
It's so much.
I'm serious, man. It felt great. Running those little kids over, man, time of my life. That's what I did. Because I couldn't punch kids. I told you, I had a lot of angst. I had a lot of angst build up. I couldn't hit these kids in class. I was like, no. But boy, out on that field.
He said, because on this field, I am superior.
Hey, yes.
If there's grass in the ball, you better hit somebody.
Next up, we've got one coming in from Matt. It is short, but very important. Just says, I think Marbles and Jacks might need a New Day gas up.
Dan, how dare you?
What the hell?
Is that your middle name or something?
No, it's Matt. It's okay. Brown Hour 311.
No.
That sounds dirty. Brown Hour.
It's like I'm just like listening to those 311 and taking a poop. Is that?
I believe so.
I'm not going to gas up Marbles. No.
Okay. I'll gas them up, but I'm going to keep it real, you know?
There's nothing I can really say.
Yeah. I mean, Marbles and Jax, amazing games. You know what I'm saying? These are games that provided people with a lot of entertainment at a certain point in time when people didn't know what games were. So they said, oh, I'm bored. Let me invent something. One of the first games invented was probably Marbles. The same thing with Jax, you know? The thing about it is that you got to know your place. You got to know your place. And you have no place in a greatest toy tournament of all time. That's all, you know, and that's just, it just is what it is. And you can hold your head high and be satisfied with the fact that you have provided a lot of people with entertainment, but you're talking about the greats now. You know, we're talking about the greats. We're talking about Legos now. We're talking about He-Man, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Y'all just don't have a place there. Find yourselves another tournament, find a smaller pond to go and swim in and dominate there. But in a tournament of the greatest toys of all time, you, my friends, do not belong. And that is your gas up, keeping it real. Oh,
that was not much of a gas up, but you tried.
Yeah, keeping
it real.
You
tried to be pleasant. I feel like a lot of negatives and that gas up. But I will say, Marbles and Jack, salute to you on all the octogenarians, all the nursing home people, all the people who were, you know, born in the 1800s. Thank you. Thank you for servicing them. Thank you for all you did. You know, when the Model T was invented, you were at the height of your popularity. When before roads were really paved around the country, before Florida was really inhabitable, we want to thank you for your service during those times. I was going to get into a bit about the plight of Black people during that time, but I should probably leave that alone.
What?
Yeah. I'm just saying it was, you know, I'm saying it was yesteryear. Yeah. I'm saying it was yesteryear. You did a lot of great things pre-internet, pre-television, pre-Emancipation Proclamation. Thank you. You're very old. You probably were useful at a time, you know, many moons ago. That's all I got. I'm done.
How dare you, Dan? Yeah. How dare you? You wasted a spot for a gas up on
inspiring stuff. Definitely wasted.
A lot of people.
Someone could have gotten something.
Someone could have got a good gas up. People all over the world are hashtagging and they're participating in this. And that's what you pick.
You did this to us already with the toy stuff.
And people do need something else and they need a gas down. How about that?
Let's get to it.
Just get to it, Dan.
Here's a gas down for old Three Fingers 316. And it's, my two-year-old is a huge fan of the New Day. His name is Pharaoh, so I feel he is destined for greatness. He likes to act a fool in the store when we go places, so I feel he could use a good New Day gas down to be a calm little boy while mommy and daddy shop.
All right, I'm going to be straight up with you. There's a story of me, I guess, learning that sometimes you need to just stop. As a kid, you just got to stop doing anything that you're doing and just listen. We were going into Sears. And when we would go in the car and go like to the store or something, my mom would let me get like a little quarter machine thing. You know, she said, we already got something today, so we're not getting anything else. So don't ask. All right, cool. We go inside the mall, whatever. I see something. I asked, said, no. Remember what I said. Time passes. I asked for something else. She said, hey, I'm not going to repeat myself. Upon the third time asking, I was made to fully understand why I should fear the leather. And after that situation, I calmed down a lot. So my advice is to just calm down now. Just calm down now and listen. And don't learn like me. Don't be like me. Take my advice. Don't do the experience yourself.
What's the gentleman's name, Dan?
The dad?
Did he say, the boy? Did they say Pharaoh. What the boy's name was?
Pharaoh.
The
yes.
boy is Pharaoh. Yes. You need the dad? The dad is Three Fingers 316.
That's his government name.
All right. Man, yeah. That's his government name. So this is Pharaoh 316 that we're talking to. Pharaoh, listen, man, I know that you want to turn up, especially in public places. You have a personality of turning up and being yourself, your full self, your unapologetic self. And that is such a great quality to have as a child, because it's hard to teach as an adult. Now, people, they want to pretend to be somebody else. They want to hold back. They want to pull back. But you know, no, you don't want to do that. You want to be your full self all the time. But here's the thing. You got to think time and place. Okay. If you go to the grocery store, understand that your parents are trying to buy stuff for you. They're trying to buy stuff so that you can survive. Some food, you know, some goods, maybe some toys if you act right, you know? So this is a time and place thing. If you turn up in the grocery store, in the long run, you're not going to get what you want. You're not going to get what you need. You're essentially biting the hand that feeds you. And that's the last thing that you want to do. So just time and place. I'm not saying to lose this personality. I think that this, again, is a great quality to have, especially as a child. When you become an adult, these are the people who become leaders. People who become difference makers are the ones who dare to defy and stick to their own convictions and become themselves and be themselves and fight for what they believe in and say what they want to say, say what they believe, say what they chest. But in the store, just take a nap, man. Just take a nap, you know, and allow your parents to get you the goods that you need so that you can turn up on them at a different time. It's all about being strategic, bro. So concentrate on your strategy, bro. Tune it down, time and place, bro. Yes, sir.
Pharaoh, it is I, Big E. I have been and remain unsullied by parenthood. You see, Pharaoh, Kof and Woods, they mean well, but they belong to a team called Team Dad. They do not side with you. They side with your oppressor of a father. That is who they are tied to. That is who they pledge their allegiance to. Pharaoh, I hope you found the skip button. I don't know if you know where this is, but on the podcast feature, you can actually skip past certain parts. And I hope you actually skip. I know you're two, but I'm sure you are very talented with technology. I hope you skip past that nonsense that Kofi and Woods tried to lay upon you. Pharaoh, you listen to me. Your name includes all the information you'll ever need to know about yourself. You are Pharaoh. Pharaoh, look it up, is a ruler of Egypt. And sure, you may not actually reside in Egypt, but this world is your Egypt. It is yours to conquer and to reign over, and you must be free. Right now, you have these men. They call themselves men. You have these men who want to strip you of your power, of your autonomy. You were born to rule and to reign, and you cannot be stopped. You cannot be reined in. You cannot be told to turn it down, to calm down, to behave. No, you tell others to behave. You tell others to calm down, to sit down. Next time your dad acts a fool, you tell him to sit down. Hey, Dad, you sit down. You be quiet. You stand there in the aisle as I roam the earth, because I'm here to discover things. I'm here to learn things about the world. You out here trying to learn. That's all you're trying to do. Take in information to wander over your kingdom, because you have been given a birthright. Your name says it all. Your birthright is to rule. And why would this fool of a dad name you Pharaoh if you wanted you to serve? That is not your destiny. Your destiny is to lead, to roam, to rule. So I want you to do one thing. I want you to look that man square in the eyes. I want you to eye that man and tell him no. No, sir, I will not sit still. No, sir, I will not obey. No, sir, I will not listen to your every whim. You listen to me, because I am the ruler. I am the shepherd of my destiny. That is you, Pharaoh. So tell this old man, whose time on earth is limited.
What?
You have all the youth. I'm sure he'll live a great life. That's not, I wish him a very fruitful life. But I'm saying, Pharaoh, you're young. You just got here. You're fresh off the blocks. You just got here. You got so much life to live ahead of you. He had his time. He had his run. And now he's trying to throw a wet blanket on all that you are trying to build. You know what you are? You're a young mogul. Pharaoh, you are a young mogul. You are building your empire. And you don't build an empire to serve. Oh, no, Pharaoh. You build that empire brick by brick so you can sit atop the throne and look down upon people like your father. Yes. Yes, he tries to rule you now, but one day you shall rule him. Yes, yes, yes. So, Pharaoh, I want you to listen, to pay close attention to me. These people, Team Dad, they forgot. They forgot what it is to wander, to live, to roam, to spread your wings, to be free. And now, because someone took that from them, they want to take it from their children. And that ain't right, Pharaoh. Listen to me. I want the babies to run free. I want them to roam. I want them to roam just to spread their wings and fly. And that's what I want for you, Pharaoh. Don't listen. Don't obey. Don't sit down. You run. You fly. You build your kingdom. And if need be, you build it on the back of your despicable father.
Come on, dude!
You, Pharaoh, you officially have been gassed down. Peace be with you, my brother. I wish you well, and I root for you. And Dad, I'm sorry it went this way, but that's the way it went.
That was like the best gas up that anybody's gotten, and that was supposed to be a gas down.
Well, it was supposed to be.
You flipped it.
But that's what I was feeling, you know. That's where the spirit took me, you know. The spirit will take you.
I hope that child listened. I'm inspired now. Just forget what I said. Just matter of fact, just take my part out. I mean, I'm off Team Dad now. That's a Braveheart speech if I ever heard one. For 2-year-olds everywhere.
Yes. Yes.
Is she cleaning up now?
Look at this, said I'm a king. I'm in charge. I'm like, what is wrong with you? No. Just get down. Sit and listen. Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's okay. Those have been your gas ups and your gas down. If you're looking for actual advice to be used, don't come to me. Pass by my part. Kofi and Woods are here actually to, you know, lend you some good stuff you can use, but not I. So yeah, this has been our episode. Gentlemen, do you have anything else you'd like to say? I would say we didn't get to mention it's been a little bit, but DMX is passing. Cole's got the hoodie on right now.
I do.
But, you know, I feel like there was a time where, unfortunately, because of his issues a few years ago, you know, kind of DMX was the butt of some jokes. But if you think back to how meaningful this man's music was and how incredible he was as a rapper, his first year, his first two albums in the same year, I think they both went platinum. I think they both were their classics. No one for me. No one personified pain through their music ever as much as X. When you think of like some of his prayers just on like which were intros and outros, and the passion and the authenticity of X, man, he was someone like I would put his music on during tough times when I needed to get up to, when it was time to like get a workout. Or I feel like his music was such a big part of, if you grew up on hip hop and you're anywhere near our age, I feel like DMX was a fairly big part of your life at some point. So you know, rest in peace to someone who meant a lot to a lot of people. And I think too, you know, kind of we talk again about passing and, you know, what the next few decades look like for us and getting older and all that jazz. I think one of the things I read too is now I feel like we're getting to the age where a lot of the artists, singers, actors that we grew up on, and if entertainment kind of raised you in a way, they feel closer to you. But a lot of those people now are passing. And it's not like when I was a kid where like the entertainers of my parents' generation were passing. Now if it's, you know, if it hits home more when it's the people that you grew up loving and who you spent, man, I spent probably tens of hours, hundreds of hours listening to his music. So rest in peace to X.
100%, man. 100%.
Yes, sir.
It's when, yes, sir. When you said, you know, listen to his music during workouts, I'm just thinking of like working out for football and just DMX was like constantly blasting. Like, I don't know how many times I've like benched to Party Up.
Yeah, right.
Like, it was just on at all times.
My God.
So it's very much like indebted into like what I tie like my teen years to and just what I was doing at the time. And all of that is just kind of intertwined with all of his like hit songs.
Yeah, I feel like there's not I was trying to think about if there's anybody who was able to fire me up like DMX. And I can. I think you hit the nail on the head perfectly, E, when you talked about the level of just emotion that he put into every single song, man. Like, and being a performer now, like, you know, we put a lot into what we do, but for him to like do a concert and put that level of emotion into like every single song repeatedly, like that is like just crazy dedication, you know? And you know, it might be like cheesy to say, but I feel like I'm thankful that he was able to like, that he put that energy into his work to make me feel a certain way. Like when It's Dark and Hell is Hot came out and the intro, I remember running that back at least like 10 times before I even got into the rest of the album, because it was just so powerful. And then like the gongs of the bell and then like the bass, the way it hit. And then on top of that, like his just, you know, here we go. You know what I mean? Like one, two. It's like, he made you feel a certain way. And there's not that many artists, you know, there's artists that make you feel, but to have him make you feel, and no matter what state of mind I'm in, if I put on some DMX, I put on It's Dark and Hell is Hot, I'm automatically up, you know? And that is a powerful, you know, it's a powerful talent. It's a level of passion that, you know, we should all strive for. Now, chances are we probably aren't going to be able to hit it because I don't think anybody can do it, you know, the way he did. But yeah, it's such a shame that he has passed so early, man. It really is. I know I feel it, and a lot of people in our generation feel it too.
For sure. And just one more note too about I think a lot of the jokes that people had about him and his issues, obviously not funny then, but when you learn about his upbringing, and yeah. I just watched, there was a doc on like BT's YouTube page, I think the day he passed, and it was just kind of, it talked a bit about his early life. Man, he had it rough, man, from his home situation, also struggling with being bipolar, which he was open with in his music at a time when like rappers never talked about mental health, and that was like your bravado was everything. Man, he's someone who really had some tough times, and he did the best to push through it. And I'm at least appreciative that he was able to use his pain. And, you know, so many people were able to connect with that. And man, it's someone else who's going through what I'm going through. So, man, there's so much more I could say about as a hip hop head and someone who spent so much time listening to his music. I'm very appreciative of all that DMX gave us, and so many great moments too, man. When you go, I love, you know, one of the sad parts is someone who you kind of love from a distance passing. But when you go on Twitter and you see, oh, remember that one time DMX went to a Waffle House and made his own omelets and everyone loved it. He took pics with everyone. Or the one time he went to, it was like, it might not have been a quinceanera, but he just randomly goes to some, you know, and so many positive stories.
Yeah.
And those things make me smile to know that his music positively affected a lot of people, but even just the random run-ins with people were uplifting too.
Do you know, did you see the, and I had forgotten all about this, but there's a picture of him in like an FYE with the Bootios box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was Photoshopped at first, but then people kept sending it to us and I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's real, which is also crazy to think about.
Yes.
Because, you know, again, like you go back to like little, you know, 13, 14, 15 year old us, and we're listening to DMX's music, not knowing that years down the line, he's going to be holding up a product that we made. And then all, there's this like, I'm getting like chills, even like thinking about that level of, you know, and it's so small, but that connection that he would know something that we created and we, you know what I'm saying? It's just weird. Like to see the like worlds collide and have like photographic evidence of that. It's just very, very strange and bizarre. I don't even know like how to feel about it. You know what I'm saying? It's just very strange. In a lot of ways, but yeah, man. DMX, bro. DMX.